الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before carrying on with today's talk, one thing with regard to food matters that had come to mind later: if we cannot find meat halal and without any doubt in it, or if you are living in those countries, we mentioned you can go on a vegetarian diet and you can manage. And particularly in that spinach is a thing which replaces meat almost completely. Almost all the proteins and the vitamins of meat are found in spinach. And if you can find it organic grown, much, much more better. So it is available. And some people who don't like spicy food, you can just boil it with a little bit of salt. And if you like your spices, you can add all your spices also. It makes it very delicious. And it can be used in so many ways, so many recipes of spinach. And look in the recipe books, there are many ways of having spinach also. And even more better than spinach is what is called in Gujarati, Wara Bhaji. That spinach which grows wild. And this usually grows where there is a lot of cow dung. It grows in abundance there. And it just grows wild. And that is exceptionally very, very healthy. And very tasty also. And if you eat it with a chapati, that is the roti without ghee in it, and a hot, hot chapati and spinach, it's making my mouth water. what to say then? And you can, so this is all very healthy food, and very, very tasty also, and very healthy also. May Allah give us tawfiq. And remember that we are what we eat. Our food will determine our character. It will determine our morals. It will determine our health. It will determine our thinking. And most important, our level of iman, it will determine. And it will be a great determining factor for us at the time of maut, which way we are going. So be very particular about food. It's not an ordinary matter. It's not to just make a mock and joke about and just pass it off. It's a very serious matter. And also remember that Allah Ta'ala has not made anything impossible for us. And normal system of Allah, Allah has not made things even difficult for us. Ad-deenu yusrun. Deen Allah has made easy for us. It's just that we have to approach it in the right way. Which example I usually give, if you have a puncture, and you can be even a heart patient, an elderly person, if you know how to change your wheel, you can do it comfortably. It might take you a little more time, but slowly you can do it on your own and you can change your wheel. But if you don't know, then for example, you see now, what must I do? You don't understand. And you take a chisel and you take a 4-pound hammer to knock off the balls from the wheel. What a big mess you'll make, what damages you will cause, etc. Then you ask 8-10 people to lift the car for you. You want to take out that wheel and put the other wheel. You will cause so much damage, you can cause yourself hurt, injury, and even perhaps die in the process. But if you know how to do it, and especially with technology of today, you can just plug in into the cigarette lighter and it will unbolt all your balls. You just have to move it, that's all. To raise your jack, that also you can plug it in the cigarette lighter. And slowly, without really huffing and puffing also, you'll manage to have changed your wheel and you'll be on your way. All this is if you know how to do it. And if you don't know, then you will face a lot of problems. So the same thing with regard to our deen also. If we get the knowledge, deen is not difficult. Deen is easy. And in reality, dunya is very hard. Dunya, to earn dunya is very hard, but because everyone, dunya is the object of life today, and everyone is doing it. Small children are earning dunya, women are earning dunya, men are earning dunya, the learned, the unlearned, so it appears easy. Whereas, just see the earning of deen. Just go in a bazaar place, if you have to go of necessity, you read the third kalima. You acquire just the fourth kalima. With the words, وَهُوَ حَيُّ لَا يَمُوتُ, even better, and you have earned 1 million sawab, which is more better than £1 million, $1 million, £1 million riyals, then there is no doubt. And that is also a matter of yaqeen. 1 million of your sins are forgiven. If you had such a huge debt on you, that's also all written off. And a palace for you is built in Jannah also. So easy that earning. And in order to make a profit of just a turnover of 1 million rand a day, or that is a big amount, to make a turnover of 50,000, 100,000, and in there your profit of whatever amount, how lot of effort, how lot you have, what and what you have to do, no matter what investment you want to make. There are so much risks in that, first of all. Whatever you do, there is a risk factor in dunya's things. And then the great effort that you have to make, and the great tension that you suffer. Whereas deen is so easy and guaranteed, as we read in Jazaul Aman, Allah give Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullahi great, great rewards. How he has explained that by acquiring deen, your dunya also gets made. It's a matter of yaqeen that we have to build. Anyway, today's subject, inshallah, is with regard to the khanqa, the tasawwuf, with regard to the sheikh, with regard to the murid, with regard to khilafat, etc. Various aspects of it, so that we can be aware what this is. Though the subject has been discussed, and many times it gets discussed, but a few aspects which are not normally discussed. First of all, the khanqa is a zawiya, is a corner, a small little room or so. In other words, a place where a person makes his islah. A person where the work of islah takes place. That is what is called a khanqa. And just like physically, we have physical ailments and we take treatment. We go to doctors, they refer us to specialists. We go to hospitals, we take treatments, we go for operation. We stay in the general ward, we stay in the ICU ward, etc. Similarly, here also, this is for spiritual ailments. Like the example that we have given, that Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's Khalifa was in hospital in Bombay, and they needed to do an operation on him. And for that they asked him to sign a paper, and he said that, I'll first ask my spiritual doctor. So they said, who is your spiritual doctor? So he said, collect all the doctors of the hospital, I'll explain who a spiritual doctor is. When they gathered the doctors, he said, see, you people take our blood regularly to make various tests. Our sugar levels, cholesterol, lipogram, to test the thyroid, to test the kidney, to test the liver, all various types of tests you do. Tell me, have you got one test to check how much anger have I got? Have you got a test to check how much pride have I got in me? This they say, we haven't got. Say, that is the work of a spiritual doctor. And when I say spiritual doctor, I don't mean all these adverts that come in the tabloids. And they do the most impossible things and the most funny things. I'm not talking of those spiritual doctors. All the bawas and the mamas, I'm not talking of those people. I'm talking of those spiritual doctors who are not herbalists also, but who deal with your ruhani ailments, with your ruhani illnesses, like pride, like anger, like casting lustful glances, like weakness of iman, inclination towards kufr, love of kufr, love of the things of kufr. These are all serious spiritual ailments. And this, the spiritual doctor, he diagnoses and he treats it. So that is what is a khanqa. And this khanqa is not only in India or India-Pakistani thing, it's an international thing. One Arab whose students were studying here in the madrasa, whose children, and they came. I'll just mention this also, it will benefit us. Sheikh Sadaqa, who is now in Madinatul Munawwara. First he was based in Jeddah, and he is an aero engineer in the airport with the aeroplanes and that. His work is with that. Now he's transferred to Madinatul Munawwara. So he brought his young children to come study here in the madrasa, and because they were still very small boys, and we made an exception to the rule, we accepted them 11, 12 years or so, they were old. And he came with his wife also, they stayed here for a few days. Our Haji Sahib, Allah reward him, he looks after our visitors now. He's also gone old, he's not active as much as he used to be, but he used to look after our visitors and take them around. He took them to the Sterfontein Caves. Now it's new name, what's it? Cradle of mankind. Of humankind. Cradle of humankind. Where human were the cradle, the baby cot of humankind. Where man was born there. What a big lie. The whole world, if you studied Western history, you'll know it's a lie. There was no cradle of humankind here in Kurkasdorf. But anyway, he took them there, and there was a plug of Darwin's theory of evolution. And they were reading it with interest. So Haji Sahib, who sits in the bayans, always also, mashallah, well informed, he explained to them that the kufr which is in there. They said, what are you telling us? This is being taught in the schools in Makkah Sharif. And the children are ingrained with this. And once that belief comes in a person, then your iman is one drop of urine in 200 liters of zamzam. All your zamzam is destroyed. So there's kufr that is being taught. So anyway, with regard to him, when he came to sit with me in the office enrolling the children, then he was talking, we were talking generally, then the small boys were there, 11, 12 year old boy. He said, make this boy's bay'at. So I just ignored it. I thought he's testing me or he's mocking at me, because according to our mind, Arabs and bay'at are poles apart. There is no reconciliation between the two. After some time, again he told me. Again I ignored it. Then he told me, make me bay'at. So then I asked him, but you Arabs and bay'at? Where do they think? There is no reconciliation between the two. And just in between, just here now, today, I received an email of an alim of England, Bradford, who went for Jamaat to Morocco. And in his car, Guzari, he writes, the idea that we have got, and this I also realized from the seminar that we had held in Azadville at the beginning of last year, or 2 years, last year. Beginning of last year, that the vast majority of Arabs are not Salafis. And in Morocco, he says, they took out, the king issued a ruling that you have to submit to the Maliki school of thought. That Salafism is not allowed at all there. Similarly, in Malaysia, the government does not allow Salafism at all. And here in Morocco also, it's not allowed at all. So he said that we have got the wrong notion that the majority of Arabs are Salafis. Our brother Nazir, who came here for some other work, he stayed, he became Bayat also. I gave him ijazat as well, seeing his jazba, etc. So he also, these are all proper, solid Sunnis, Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. And they follow the various school of thought, whether it's Maliki, whether it's Shafi. We follow generally Hanafi. Whatever it is, these are very, very strong. So when I spoke to Sheikh Sadaqa, and I told him that you Arabs and you talking about Bayat, it doesn't make sense to me. He says, no, that we are very strong in Sufism also, in Tasawwuf. And he was that time stationed in Jeddah, and he says, my father-in-law is a Sheikh in Tariqah. And every Thursday night we have majlis also. And we all, just as you have majlis here, we have majlis also. But he says we keep it very secret from the government, because Salafis, they are infiltrating in the government there. So we keep it a bit very low profile, but we have it regularly. I gave him ijazat also, and he's having majlis also. And now he's in Madina Sharif, so there is nothing new. So anyway, so where did we go? So anyway, this the tasawwuf, the khanqa, is not something which is Indo-Pak thing. It is an international thing. In Indonesia, it's very strong. Malaysia, it's very strong. However, bid'at has infiltrated. And this is a thing that happens, which is also a point of advice for all our murids and our khalifas, etc. That always, if you are, especially if you're not an alim, and even if you're an alim, stay under the guidance of reputable and responsible ulama. Never ever make yourself mustaqil. Jo mustaqil bhi zaat hota hai, wo mustaqil bad zaat hota hai. A person who feels I'm on my own, I know now, I got khilafat, I'm a khalifa. Wo mustaqil bhi zaat kya hota hai? Mustaqil bad zaat hota hai. Aur aisa aadmi, wo salih kya rahega, muslih kya rahega? Salih bhi nahi rahega. Such a person, forget him being making other people's Islam, he himself won't remain on the right path also. In fact, yeah, I requested Hazrat, and there is also one point I want to elaborate, that we have to build my own khanqa separate from the Darul Uloom. Hazrat immediately said, never ever do that. Keep the khanqa always under the shadow of the Darul Uloom. Because he says, today you are here, perhaps you can manage and pass your life with the khanqa on the proper lines. But tomorrow somebody else becomes the khalifa. And that person, you don't know, and this is what has happened, what big, big khanqas. One of the major causes of the downfall of khanqas is when the other people took over, the khulafa, the son of the sheikh, other khulafa took over, and they were not of that caliber. And in here, which is also a thing that I want to discuss a bit in detail, but hopefully, I hope I can fit it all in, is that there are two big fitnas which come in the khanqa. One is of woman, because in this line of the tasawwuf, you teach the love of Allah, and whoever has found that love of Allah, they fall in love with the person who taught them the love of Allah, which is a natural thing. Now, to curb it, the rules of shariat and parda and hijab, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, are so strong for every mu'min. For the shaykh, they become more stronger. But the shaykh feels, now I'm laxed in this. I can talk with my muridnis, and they also want to talk with the shaykh, etc. Big, big fitnas have started in this. And the other is money. Who you love, you want to spend money. Then you want to, the shaykh, in fact, this is also one of the adabs, if we are under gift topic, to elaborate on it, for the shaykh to make any indication that his murid must spend money on him. Give him money. This is one of the destructions of the khanqa and of the tasawwuf. And to ask is even worse. And to make ishraf, to ask from the heart, this is also a terrible thing. Yes, on the other side, the murid must have this desire to spend on his sheikh. But just to understand this, one great sheikh in Saharanpur, he was extremely hungry. But he was a true, genuine sheikh. He didn't ask for food also from anyone. He didn't beg, though in that condition, it's permissible to ask somebody. And especially your student, your murid, a close friend, you can tell him, I haven't got food, I'm very hungry, just make some money. The people will do it with respect and honor. They won't look down at the person to do it. One murid understood, my sheikh is really, really hungry. He was a student also, he was the murid also of the sheikh. So he went and bring food. He went out again. When he brought the food, the sheikh said, when you came and you noticed I'm hungry, from your facial expressions I made out, you are going to bring few food for me. Now the desire came in my heart. And now it's not permissible for me to accept from you. So strong. But that murid student was also so genuine and so well grounded that he went out with the food. And then he came back. He said, now you lost your hope. Now that you lost hope. Now it's permissible for you to eat. So the sheikh must have no desire. He must not ask in any way. And there are various of ways of asking directly and indirectly. I saw a dream that you are giving me so much. So the sheikh's dream, Allah, I must fulfill my sheikh's dream. I made istikhara. And in my istikhara, you came out in my istikhara. So I must fulfill. So no, directly, indirectly, showing our piety, our buzurgi, and then we are taking out, this is all haram. And then we were thinking of it that it is khanka, and we are doing khanka work. And with that money, whatever we do, deen's work, what barakat is going to be in that deen's work? So the sheikh must not, he must be very, very strong. With regard to the matters, in fact, when we went to Malaysia in this last trip, they told me there is a very big sheikh from Syria, and you also a sheikh, he's also a sheikh, you people will meet. It will be very good. So I said, I would like to meet him also. And they were our students, and they know our mizaj. So I thought it must be our line. But when we went there, as we just came in with the car in the yard, they started off welcoming us, and welcoming us, beating the drums, and reading the qasidas, etc. Now this is their tariqah. This is not a, so I send a message, they must first stop there, then only I will come in. They complied, alhamdulillah, they stopped, we went in. Then they started the program, and in the course of the program, Qasida Burda Sharif, so nice, but then with the drums again. And this is not our tariqah at all. So I may ask them, please, if you can stop this. The sheikh understood, and he told them to stop it. Then, just after a little while, there was a huge curtain. Like, for example, it was a room much smaller than this, but how the two columns are, there were curtains there. And I thought, well, it's curtains, but suddenly the curtain just opened, and all the women emerged from there. So I say, what is this now? I said, this is not permissible at all. And I told them, they understood. Then afterwards, they asked me to say a few words. I said, then I asked permission to leave. So these mahankas get reduced into these things. The fitna of women and the fitna of money has destroyed big, big, big khankas, where so great work of deen was taking place. But if we are not, that is why this talk I want to give today, that alhamdulillah, we give ijazah to our friends who, and why we give, that also I will discuss. But then be very much on your guard with regard to these things here, with regard to the fitna of women and the fitna of money. And the fitna, of course, of respect and honor. That also, that a person feels, I'm the biggest sheikh. I'm a very big, pious person. At one place where there was a sheikh who was working, another sheikh came in that place. So the first sheikh fell now, what's the word? Threatened. He felt threatened now that the other person has come here. So he sent a glass of water to that person. That here is water and it's clean water. In other words, the necessity of the people is being fulfilled. You don't have to be here, you can find some other place. That sheikh put a rose petal on top and sent it back. The murids didn't understand this whole thing. So he explained, there is pure water, but if it comes with a little bit of fragrance also, what's the difference? You do your work, I do my work. So just like a shopkeeper feels threatened when another person opens a shop in his town of the same business he's doing. A doctor feels threatened, he's operating in a place, another doctor comes open his surgery next door to him. Or just around the corner. Everyone, the people of the same line feel threatened with people. So a sheikh feels threatened. Why is this person here? But you should have your heart big open. Whether you are a businessman, whether you are professional, whether you are a sheikh also, everyone's tabiat and nature is different. Sometimes people feel, khanka feels threatened from tabligh jamaat. Tabligh Jamaat feels threatened from Khanqah. This shouldn't be the case. Some people get the hidayat from Khanqah. Some people get the hidayat from Tabligh. The object is to get hidayat and to fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala. So you shouldn't be threatened and feel threatened about these things. So the Khanqah is that place where these spiritual treatments are meted out and given, diagnosed and then treated. So for that, khilafat is given. There are various reasons for giving khilafat also. The reason, one common reason which I made the basis of giving khilafat is not, many people think I got khilafat, so it's my certificate of Jannat. I will show Munkar Nakir in the qabr that I got certificate of Jannat. They'll throw it on your face. That is not your certificate of Jannat. Or some people take it, it's my certificate of piety. My Shaykh has confirmed I am a pious person. It's no certificate of piety also. It is all the reason why I give that you now have the capacity of making your own Islah. So start with majlis for your Islah. And the object of why I give in our Khanka, why the Ijazat Nama is given, why Khilafat is given, that you start with majlis. If you don't make majlis, that is just a piece of paper. Whatever is written, just take it like a blank piece of paper. That some water came over it and it wiped out everything. Majlis is the object. And the object of majlis, once Qari Zahir Sahib was in the Tabligh Jamaat, where he was Muqim in the Markaz, a very old worker, he has passed away, Allah grant all Jannah, and a very, very jolly and jokey person. But anyway, they made my tashkil to join the Jamaat to Zimbabwe. As we were just leaving Azadwell, I asked him the first question, what niyat must I make? He said, make your niyat solely and only for your own Islah. Not that you're the big principal of Darul Uloom or anything, or Sheikh and that. No, you make your niyat. So even make majlis with the niyat of your own Islah. Not even by the way, the Islah of the others also. But your niyat must be, in fact, emphatically and solely for your own Islah. And if you do that, you will benefit from majlis. And if your niyat is for other people, then the benefit will be hardly anything. That I'm all right, then I must make the other people right. Make emphatically, make your niyat whenever you start. Whenever you make bayan, any bayan, in your khanka, anywhere, then make your niyat for your own Islah. And a person who does that, his Islah will go by leaps and bounds. Allah will make his Islah. And make your majlis regularly. So the object of giving the khilafat is our own Islah that we start. And to make majlis. To start with majlis. And this majlis is, if you can have quite a few people, you are now, you have it in a masjid is the best. And therefore also preferably, also, another point that with regard to this, there are many people who are fit to get ijazat, but everyone is not given ijazat. And if there are other things, so your social standing in the community, whether people will be prepared to come to you and make bay'at with you. A person might be capable, he's fully entitled to get ijazat, to get khilafat, but his social standing is not such that people will feel open. Like for example, in a community of affluent people, you give a poor person ijazat. The rich people are not going to come become bay'at to him. So they are not going to get the benefit. There you will prefer to give it to a rich person because he will benefit. If that person is living amongst poor people, by all means, then you give him also. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said that all my murids are worthy of khilafat. But I don't give everyone khilafat. Yeah, also many of our satis are fit for it. Other thing to be seen, whether the person is a married person, is a young person, many young persons are fit for khilafat. But you don't give them khilafat. They are still young people. They haven't got that respect in the eyes of the people. When they'll become like responsible people, then you give them ijazat. So anyway, when ijazat is given, don't take it as a certificate of Jannah. Or don't take it that I'm alright now. I'm a pious person, I'm alright. By no means does it mean that. It means you have got a capacity of your own Islah now. Your own Islah, you have got that capacity, and for that, your Islah will take place. That Khilafat Nama will have value if you start making majlis. And with the niyat of your own Islah. If your niyat is to tell other people, or your niyat is just to quote big points, some very subtle and very emphatic and nice points you want to make bayan about, no, that also won't help. Your own Islah you make your niyat. So you've informed then, if you can have it in a masjid, all the better. And inform the people, even put up a notice. And with the niyat, not to show that we're having majlis, but to let the people know. One is ta'aruf and one is ta'arif. Yeah, ta'arif is not the object to praise the person or to praise the khanqa or to praise the majlis. Ta'aruf is the object. to inform the people, so that the people know majlis is taking place. You can put up a notice, you have it in the masjid. If for any reason it's not permitted, the committee doesn't permit it, the community doesn't want it, don't go and fight with them. Don't look down upon them, that these people, they don't want majlis also. Or we were having majlis, they stopped our majlis. No, no problem, they don't want to have it. There are a lot of alternative venues of our mashayikh, they send their murids, who they gave khilafat to. And this is the object. In fact, Maulana Akhlat Sahib, Maulana Mufti Phulpuri, Mufti Abdullah Phulpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, explained that before a student, when he graduated, today generally if a student graduates and he goes and teach in a madrasa, he makes imamat, we feel our effort is wusul. That what we did, mashallah, he's teaching, he's making imamat, or whatever dini work he's doing. But in the past, that wasn't even the object. That the islah of the people, that was the object. That a person must make fikr for the, every Nabi, mustatatu, in uridu illa al-islah. And the Nabi used to say, my irada, why I have come as a Nabi, is for the islah of the people. And this islah is on various fronts. Islah of the aqidah is the most important. That the people's aqidah you make effort on. Then islah of the ibadat, that they are not making, they are making, they have got lot of bid'at in them, lot of rusumat, customary things, innovations, all that islah you have to make. Islah of the financial matters and dealings, that must be corrected, which is very, very wrong, as we see from the kitab we are reading, and the jalsa, the madarulum jalsa we had, the theme was also on muamalat, and what good talks were given by the speakers, by the students, and that if any person who had taken part, he will realize that our financial matters are not correct, and that's the first thing to correct. And after that, muasharat, our living in society, and then our akhlaq and character. So the sheikh has to make this fikr, and on himself, and then make it, if you can, on the day of Qiyamah, we find, we read, and we even say, that a Nabi will come with two followers. A Nabi will come with no followers. A Nabi will come with millions of... Who are these followers? The people whose Islah they made. And in this world, every Nabi also, he took his... whose Islah he made, he took them to Kaaba Sharif, so to say to Allah, that this is the people's Islah I made. On Hajjatul Wada, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took about 124,000, which are on record, Sahaba. These were the people that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made such an effort and made the Islah in such a way that the chain is carrying on till today. And the barakat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's effort are still carrying on. So this is this work of Khanqa. There are many people who got a misconception that Khanqa is just for yourself and Tabligh is for everyone. That's a total misconception and a misnomer. Because of the Khalifas, because of the murids, that we just go to Sheikh's majlis, we sit there and finish. No, every Khalifa must have his majlis. By Allah's fazl, we can only make Allah shukr. I didn't realize this year many things opened which I never thought of. They were treasures which Allah had given us. One is that for the Kar Guzari, this past Yomul Ahad, Sunday that we had, so I told our friends, Mona Musa, Kaji, Mufti, Desai, Mona Mansur, to make up a list where we're majlis. More than 100 places, alhamdulillah, majlis is taking place. So this is the object, and the object of the majlis is for your Islam. Where were we? Gee, so every Nabi used to make islahs, and then they used to take their production and present it at Rozai Mubarak also, and at Kaaba Sharif. Go with your murid, though that is not necessary, but you go, and when whose islah you make, and this usually happens more towards the end of a person's life, whatever efforts he has made. So if you make, and you can make your majlis in the masjid, you can't have it at your home. Many, many mashayikh have their majalis at their homes. And majlis at the home, invite the people by word of mouth. Today, WhatsApp, all this other thing, use technology for the halal, for the jais, for the good things. Make it halal, Islamicize it. They have made it a haram thing. We make it a halal thing and Islamicize it and use it for good. Send out messages that so and so night, so and so day, so and so place, the venue time, we're having a majlis. And first start only with men. When that come reasonably under control, have completely with full parda facilities. Have for women also completely separately. They also, it's necessary for them also. Then you have at home. And you invite your neighbors, you invite your friends, etc., musallis. If that also you cannot do, have with your family. Eh? What we call ta'aleem in tabligh. In khanqa, call it majlis, it's the same thing. But have that, and the kitabs that we read, especially, and that is the reason why I encourage Saathis to come spend Ramzan here. See the kitabs which are being read here. They are just not being read, learn from it and start with these kitabs at home. Now, if we can't do all the kitabs, it's a heavy program, we can't do it so much. For example, the five aspects of Islam, our aqaid, our muamala, ibadat, muamalat. Read from every kitab once a day, if you are doing at home. For every week, read one, from one kitab. Read half a page or so. But slowly, slowly. And remember, what work is done punctually, regularly, constantly. Even little bit, it produces big results. And what is done in josh, that is like soda water. When you open the bottle, all the gas spills out. And then it's flat. Now it's nothing. So don't do things in josh like this. Do it properly, little, even very little. You do, but constantly you do. So with your family you can do. If you are in that type position, your family is also not prepared to sit for majlis. Your wife, who stops you from doing it yourself? Any khalifa who's got ijazat and is not making majlis even on his own. You, one day of the week for half an hour, 1 hour you choose and you read those kitabs. Haji Farooq Saab, Rahmatullah Ali, was given ijazat by Haji Bahadraji Maulana Shah Masihullah Saab, Rahmatullah Ali. After some time, Hazraji told him, start with majlis in your town, Sakkar. He started with majlis for about 2 years, nobody came. But he carried on with majlis. For 2 years he carried on, nobody came. After 2 years, one man used to come. Old man, stone deaf. He can't hear one word. And he used to sit in the majlis for 6 months. But today go and see Sakkar. Haji Sahib passed away. His main Khalifa, Dr. Sahib passed away. His son Bhaijan is there. Allah name jungle mein mangal bana diya. Where there was desert, today is a chaman. Where there was daman, Allah made a chaman there. Or this is that constancy. So whoever got ijazat, this is what they must do. Make majlis. If nobody is coming and no one, do it for yourself. But you just carry on, you will see the results. And this is where if you make majlis, and you do it constantly and with the correct niyat, and most barakat is when you do it for your own islah, then you will see that the people will benefit. Huge amounts of people. The people in the world, Allah will spread. Also remember that deen's work is simple. Ad-deenu yusrun. Deen's work is simple. To do deen's work is cheap. It's not, you need big offices. You have to go and make big collections. You have to build big darul ulums. No, it's not required. You just do your simple work. Look at our asatiza of the subcontinent, especially when I think of the madrasas of Gujarat, which we know. Today, mashallah, India is filled with madrasas everywhere, Bihar, Bengal, wherever you can think of how many Darul Ulums there are. But previously, there weren't so many. But even so, like a ustad in Dhabir, a ustad in Randir, a ustad in Tarkeshar, perhaps that ustad, whole life, he didn't leave his hometown. Or perhaps he didn't leave his province, his state. Whole life he just stayed there. But that simple way, which is full of barakat of Buzurg's way, his fares and his knowledge, Allah took to America in the form of his students. Allah took to Australia, to Africa, to the whole world, Allah sent the fares. What was all this? That simple way. So majlis also is a simple thing. And tabligh, we go to the brothers. In the khanqa, people will come to you. And this was the way also, the ulama, Their position is that people will come to them. But you also go and make gasht. There is no problem in that also. And don't ever try and run down any effort of deen. If you're not an alim, don't run down the ulama who are not making majlis, for example. Don't run down tabligh jamaat, that they haven't, they're only running around making gush, going from here to there. Reality and essence they haven't got. No, everyone is doing their work. In fact, we had a discussion that there's been a lot of work being done in South America, alhamdulillah, by South African ulama, Maulana Yusuf Biko and his whole people, they are doing fantastic work. So another alim was keen to do work in Mozambique. So he said, these are our neighbors here. And the amount of people which are in South America, Muslims, they're not even a fraction of the Muslims which are here. These are, so I explained, I said, let those who are doing about South America, let them carry on. And you get other people, there are more than enough other people. So those who want to join Jamaat, don't stop them. Encourage them. It's good work. It's the right work. It's the correct work. Those who want to join Khanka, don't stop them. It's the right work. This is the work of our buzurgs. Tabligh is the work of our buzurgs. All this is our work. We must be help one another, consolidate. And what? Jay? That word. Anyway, compliment one another. Compliment one another's work. Don't disintegrate. It is all the same. The object is the same. So compliment one another's work. For that, I will just give one little example. There was a king whose three sons had come to marriageable age. So all three sons wanted to marry the princess of the neighboring country, the daughter there of that king. So they all went, so they told their father. The father said, if I take three proposals, there won't be a more stupid person than me in the world. How can you take three proposals? You take one proposal. And if I take one of the three sons' proposals, the other two, and they accept, the other two will become my enemies. Because marriage is such a thing. Habil and Qabil. One killed the other. Qabil killed Habil. He made him qatal. Why? Because of marriage. So he said, the others will become my enemies. So you go yourself and you propose there. Each one went, they proposed. The king said, I have decided from long before, I will give my daughter in marriage to that person who has got some great accomplishment, some great excellence, some hunar, something in his hand, he's got something in him. And so for that, I'll give you as much money as you want to. King said, lot of money in the past. And I give you 2 years chance. Go and accomplish. Get some accomplishment. Some excellence in you. They all went. When they came back, he asked the first one. He said that my excellence is this. That I got kashf. That I can look in my palm. And I can tell you the condition of any person anywhere in the world. And so, this is just a parable for us to take a lesson. So he said, okay. I think you must marry the daughter. It's a great achievement, but it's only fair we listen to the other. He asked the second person. He said, I've got what is called tayyul ard. That is, in a second, I can transport you anywhere you want to go. We are sitting in Azadville, and they can transport us by tayyul ard, and these are karamat of awliya. And we are all now in Makkah Sharif. We made our tawaf, next minute we in Medina Sharif. We made our salatu salam, by iftari we are back here in Azadville. In split seconds they make you. How the throne of Bilqis from Yemen was transported to Sulaiman alayhi salam. More closer than the wink of an eye, it was transported. So, does you also? What is the third person? I have discovered such a medicine. A person can be so sick, almost dying now. Now he's dying. You just put that medicine in his mouth. He's fit as and healthy as before. So they said, okay, the first one, tell us, how is that girl? So he checked up. He said, she's about to die. In her last throes. Told the second one, transport us all there. Transported them. Told the third one, give the medicine. Gave the medicine. She became better. None of the three can say, I saved the girl. If the first person didn't inform them, then the other two's knowledge which should have been just nothing. They gave the knowledge, but they couldn't reach there in time. Also, if they reached in time, no medicine. Also, So then he, the story is that Maulana explained to us that the first one is the work of the ulama. According to Quran and Hadith, what is the condition of the Ummah today? What should be the condition? If we don't know Quran and Hadith, we'll think today, oh, people who just kept roza and making big Eid preparation, and they are doing spring cleaning, they are painting the house, these are very pious people, they are making Eid preparation. And not only that, they're even cleaning the garden and washing the car. Eh? One brother told me, let me wash your car. He said, but see, Eid was there. For Eid, your car shines little bit. So that is Eid preparation. That we would regard as something great. But only the ulama tell us what is actual Eid preparation. Otherwise, roza, what we will think are savories and desserts. That is what roza is all about. So we will have the wrong idea. Today, how many people got so wrong ideas about our deen? When I was in Iran, Maulana Ilyas, who is the son of Maulana Abdul Hamid, a very great alim there, he's very much in Jamaat work. So we are discussing, so I say, finally, what is the religion of the Shias? He says only two things. To swear the Sahaba, na'uzu billah, the more you swear them, the more pious you are. Now that is their deen. And the other is to go on the mazarat, to go on the qabrs of the awliya. What kind awliya also? Those who swore Allah more, the Sahaba more, they more bigger walis, na'uzu billah. So people will think this is, so the ulama do that work. They tell you what are we supposed to be doing and what are we doing. The second is the work of tabligh jamaat. They take us to meet everyone. Whether it is right in a farm, somebody, a laborer working on the farm, they'll take a jamaat there. They'll take jamaats to the huts. They'll take people in the concrete jungles of Europe and America. Everyone, they'll look for them, go and meet them. This is the person. The third is the work of the khanqa people who give the medicine. So if all three work together, the ummah will get saved. And if any one of them thinks that I'm doing everything, you'll be destroyed. So compliment one another. Somebody told Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi in the UK that yeah, the talk is only we are doing work of deen. What these other people are doing is no work of deen. Maulana didn't say anything, it was supper time. When he started his bayan, he started from here. Yeah, who said you need eyes and you don't need a tongue? Who said you need ears and you don't need a nose? You need hands, you don't need legs. You need a head, you don't need the heart. Everything you need. And all these things complement one another, you have a perfect body. And if any one of them feels, the heart feels that I'm only, I don't have to work for the eyes, and the heart doesn't work for the eyes, you go blind. If the heart feels I don't have to work for the legs, you go paralyzed. The heart works for everyone. The legs work for the heart. You got a heart problem, legs take you to doctor. And they work for you. So all working for one another, complementing one another's efforts. Everyone, the work of the eyes, the tongue cannot do. And the work of the tongue, the eyes cannot do. But you complement and help one another. So this is this work. And as a murid, we should attend the programs regularly. And not just become bayat, bayat hoke, bayat jaate hai. Our Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali of Lady Smith used to say, you become murid but no contact with your Shaykh. How are you going to benefit? Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that if the husband is in Bombay and the wife is in Delhi and every night 2-3 hours tahajjud and duas, oh Allah give us children, what children they going to get? But if they meet and even just meet for a little while, perhaps even just a minute, a proper meeting, you can have production after 9 months. So in the same way, the Shaykh and the Murid, you don't know one another. One friend of ours from the Mayotte Islands, he came here doing very good work also. So I asked him, you became Bayat? He said, yes, when I was studying in Turkeshwar, I became what? Who? You became Bayat. He said, now I can't even remember. Was it a Muradabadi or a Saharanpuri? Somebody. So if a wife says, I got married, but I don't remember who my husband is. Whether he's from South Africa, whether he's from America, whether he's from Australia. I don't know who my husband is. What kind of a marriage is that? So this also what the Shaykh, no contact. That when the Shaykh meets you, he hardly knows you, he's Murid. Therefore the adab also, one important adab. A person who feels my Shaykh still doesn't meet you, you must say, may aapka khadim, may aapka murid ho, and meet. I am so and so from so and so place, I am your murid. So he knows this is my murid. Then the relationship is different. Just the visitor comes, his relationship is different. One great Shaykh Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, his grandson went and visited his father's Shaykh, Shaykh Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Ali. First he thought he just came as a visitor. He gave him VIP treatment. Then he told me, actually I've come because my mother sent me to get that treasure that what I was for my grandfather. That I must get it back again and it must come into our. Oh, you came for Islah. You came here to make your Islah. Then he gave him that treatment. And what mujahada he had to go through. Great, great mujahada. But then finally he got that. So you treat a murid differently. You treat a visitor differently. Just a person who came first time, he hasn't got beard, you don't tell him. Your murid came and he's already 6 years murid, 5 years, and his beard is not right. You have to tell him. That your beard, your trouser is below your ankle. You have your visitor, you can't tell him. So you must know who the person is. So that is also important. So the murid must keep this hot relationship. Now one good example of this also, we drink tea regularly, but great lessons to learn from tea. Tea was just plain water before. But when it stayed in the company of the tea leaves, just for 2-3 minutes, its name changed. No more water tea. Its quality changed. Water cools you down. Tea lifts you up. Price change. Water you give free to one another. Cup of tea, you'll pay 10 rand for it. And the color change. Water was clear. Tea became black. But this is when it's in hot water. If you put the tea leaves in cold water, nothing will happen. Which means your relationship with your Sheikh must be a hot relationship. Then you're going to benefit. If it's a cold relationship, you won't benefit. And then the Sheikh will make effort on you now, and he'll put the milk, your ibadat will come right now. Now whiteness will come. But still you don't drink that tea, no sugar. The Sheikh will make effort on your akhlaq, your character. Now sweetness will come. But that sweetness will just be still in the bottom of the tea. In order that it mixes in all the tea and the whole cup becomes enjoyable, you need a spoon, not a twig, not a piece of grass. It's not going to stir the tea. And a spoon, when you move it, it's going to make noise, like the panel beater knocking the car that came in accident and taking out all the dents and make it a recondition, like a brand new car again. And you also think when it was in accident, how it was. Today it looks like a brand new car. That is a panel beater recondition. Shaykh will make you Allah recondition. And you were also a person worse than that car in an accident. But with the Shaykh, now your muamalat will also come right. Everything will be right. And such tea, you don't say only labdos, labsos, labrez, but you'll say harros. And such delicious tea, every day I want such tea. A person will become every person, Dil Aziz, everyone will love him. And usually, a wife will praise a husband only 2 times in her life. One is before marriage, she boasts, I'm marrying so and so, he's like this, he's like this, I got this man here, he's like this. And one is after you die. In between, you must forget your wife will praise you. And the wife will have some good word for you. But even if you go through this process, your wife will also praise you. She will also have respect and regard for you if you go through this process. So these things are very, very important. And also one important thing which every Khalifa must think, to establish majlis. And even if he can't do anywhere else, he can make his own majlis. On his own he can make, and that is required. And then work towards a khanqa, to have a khanqa of your own. Mufti Abdullah Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali has made niyat of building 100 khankas in India. His own khanka is a three-story building. And all facilities, ladies' quarters separate, couples' quarters separate, men's quarters separate, and with all the amenities, everything. So when a person, like for example, somebody comes to Azadwell, anywhere, what is this big building? There is a Darul Ulum. What's a Darul Ulum? Where children become alims, etc. So, or you go somewhere, and one place we went, they showed me the prison. They were proud of the prison. We got the biggest prison in our area. So in other words, you are proud, we got the most crooks in our area. Most criminals we got in our area. So I asked, what is this big building? There is a prison here. What's a prison about? Where, today, new name. What? Correctional services. Hey, no more prison. And no more a prisoner, also they also got new names, what inmates or whatever. And they are now different name. Anyway, so if you see this big building, what is this? There is a khanqa. What's a khanqa? Spiritual hospital. What's a spiritual hospital? Place where your anger is treated. Place where your pride is treated. This is the place for that year. And like in our khanqa year, we got all surgeons treating all the different. We got our GPs and we got our specialists and we got our cardiologists and we got all our surgeons and all the diseases are being treated. So like this, there is an, mustn't be only khanqa in Ramzan. Khanqa, a person is sick in Muharram and you say wait till Ramzan. We'll do your emergency operation in Ramzan. No, we must work, and that is the work of the Khalifa to think on this line, that I must have a khanqa operational 7-7-24-24. The khanqa must be operational, and so that people can get the treatment. So this work here is a very important work, and by it being spread in the world. And today if we will operate it, today person wants khilafat that, oh, I got khilafat, and he hides it away like a very, very valuable document I got. No, it's not for to hide away. It is to make to effort on the people. Dr. Maulana, who was it of Ahmedabad, very good alim. Hazrat Sheikh, very, very simple minded. Hazrat Sheikh gave him ijazat, permission. So he asked the other murids, what does it mean? I got permission to go home now or what? So then they explained to him. And then he, after some time he met Hazrat. Hazrat asked him, how many murids? He said, Hazrat, me, murids, out of the question. Where I'm going to make murids? It's out of the question for me. Hazrat said, that time is gone now. Now you must announce that anyone want to become murid, come, become murid. If there are people who are sick and you don't worry about them, they don't know they are sick, go and tell them you are sick and give them the treatment. So if you have that, first your own Islah is made, then you can go out and tell the people that become murid and we may take your Islah. Isn't Islam necessary? Mustn't you be treated? Yes, so come. The proper way is you become a murid. So may Allah give us tawfiq to understand this. The adab, these are very little. I only touched the tip of the iceberg. But what the adab of a murid are, what the adab of a sheikh are, what the adab of a khanqa is, of majlis, these are very important things. So those who got ijazat, mustn't let it go to their head. And those who didn't get, don't have to be despondent. And everyone, according to his capacity, must make majlis. That even if you haven't got ijazat, take ijazat and may start majlis by all means. You start with your majlis. And then according to that, it will be seen. And ijazat also can be given. But and if you don't make, if you're not making majlis, regard your paper just as a blank paper. It's nothing. The important thing is to make majlis, and the object is your Islah. That your Islah takes place. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah, and may Allah accept our Ramadan, inshallah. We are supposed to make dua also. So make one dua that tomorrow we still have one more day of Ramadan. I don't know who's going to make from the heart or who will just make from the mouth that dua.